This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Monday, January the 13th of 2025. The time is 9:07. Temperature has not moved. Still cold. Very, very cold. Fair skies here in downtown Wausau at our 98.9 WXCO studios at the corner of Washington and North 3rd Streets, downtown Wausau. 5 degrees below zero is the temperature. But if you go outside, it's not going to feel like 5 below zero. It's going to feel like 25 below zero. The wind chill factor, 25 below. Winds are out of the west at 14 miles per hour. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up here in this hour, a little bit later on at 9:34, we'll be joined by 18th State Senate District Senator, brand new Senator, just was sworn in last Monday, Kristen Alfheim. She serves the people in eastern Wisconsin around Appleton. She is a native here of Marathon County. She, like myself, at the very same time, yep, I've known Kristen Alfheim for many, many years. We went to high school together, and we graduated the same year from D.C. Everest. And as I put in, we have a graduating class Facebook page. And I put it up there that she was coming on the program today. And I said, well, one of us has been elected to office and is serving the constituents of her area. And the other one sits in front of a microphone. And you can guess which one is more important. But, no, Kristen Alfheim's done a lot of good work outside of government. This is her first elected state office, but she's worked at the local level for years as well. So we'll talk to Kristen Alfheim coming up at 9:34 this morning here on 98.9 WXCO. Then we'll wrap things up at the end of the show with our daily history lesson, let you know about some big events that occurred on this date in history. Also have our look at celebrity birthdays and have a look at as well some of the famous, I should say, some of the events that are being acknowledged today and this week. And then we'll have our number for the day quiz as well. Our number for the day quiz coming up at the very end of the show. And we'll give it to our in-studio engineer and our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh.
Yep.
Ian,
producer and engineer. There That's you
go.
Right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chad. At least the sun's out.
Absolutely. And what's the countdown for your big trip to Orlando?
As of today, it is 6 days away from my big trip to Walt Disney World. That's a nice Christmas present I got from my mom and dad. Thank you, mom and dad. It's very exciting. My dad and I are working on the final little preparations. We're making sure we're packing appropriately and making sure we check the weather before we go to make sure we pack the right amount of we're prepared in case the temperatures are not, you know, like super warm. But last time I checked the forecast, and it probably changed. I mean, it was a couple weeks ago, but he was looking at the 50s and the 60s for the week we're going to be there. So we'll double check on that, but it'll probably be a lot better there than it is here right now.
Absolutely. So we'll look forward to continuing that countdown throughout the rest of the week.
Yep.
Obviously, it's always a sad Monday. You know, the best Mondays are victory Mondays for the Green Bay Packers, but today it is truly the opposite of a victory Monday. Not only was it a loss, but it was a final loss of the season yesterday for the Packers as they fell to the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card round 22-10. Just Packers had not scored so few points really all season long. Just could not get the offense going. Had injury after injury. Not just injuries where you get knocked out for a few plays, but they had significant injuries. Had a dislocated shoulder, had a concussion, had a broken leg. I mean, it was just incredible how the injuries and the big, big injuries just kept going on. Packer defense, for the most part, played pretty well. They kept Philadelphia in check for much of the game, but the Packers just could not take advantage of it. And now the question marks for next year. And I'm somebody that over the years has been, I think, very appreciative of the way the Packers have gone about things in terms of making sure that they're always right there, giving themselves an opportunity to be involved in the playoffs and give themselves a chance to win championships. But at the same time, I do think at this point, the Packers cannot be the youngest team in the NFL anymore. They got to add maybe a veteran, a wide receiver especially, take a little bit of a roll of the dice to try to take those next steps, because the Packers do not have the receiving core right now in order to get beyond the first round of the playoffs. They need somebody that's going to be a number one and to help Jordan Love and open up this offense a little bit more. And again, it's just that they need a little bit more there, and they got to be, I think, a little bit more active in improving this team. Josh Jacobs last season was a great pickup. In the end, it turned out to be the right move to pick up Jacobs and to move on from Aaron Jones. He had a fantastic year, but it's almost a little bit of a wasted great year, because running backs, they're not unlimited in the number of times they can touch that football and keep that explosiveness. And to have Josh Jacobs have a great year and not get beyond the first round of the playoffs, I think was a disappointment. So I'm curious to see in the offseason whether or not the Green Bay Packers do make more of a significant move. I think one guy that's out there that could be a possibility for the Green Bay Packers going into the offseason, going into next season, would be a man named Davante Adams.
Oh.
He's now with the Jets, and the Jets may be making some major changes. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers will be back. We don't know who the new head coach is going to be. We don't know what their look is going to be offensively. Maybe somebody like Davante Adams would be available. And to come back to Green Bay, be that number one, be somebody that can take that receiving core to another level, maybe that's somebody to consider. I'm not saying for sure, but I think maybe that could be the guy. He still has shown
a possibility.
He has shown he still got the ability to perform at the highest level, but we'll just have to wait and see. So, again, disappointment for the Packers, 22-10. They lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. Also this weekend in the NFL playoffs, started off on Saturday, Houston defeated the L.A. Chargers 32-12. Also on Saturday night, Baltimore beat Pittsburgh in the AFC 28-14. And then the three games yesterday, the first game saw Buffalo roll past Denver 31-7. Then the Packers game against Philly 22-10. And then an exciting finish late last night. The final game of the playoff Sunday was Sunday night, Washington and Tampa Bay. It was tied up 20-20, last play of the game, a 37-yard field goal attempt for the Washington Commanders. Doinked it off the upright, but it went through. So they won the game, won the first playoff game since 2005. Since the 2005 season, nearly two decades for the Washington Commanders. That was the third longest streak in the NFL without a playoff win. So they move on. They'll go to Detroit next week in the second round. And there's still one more playoff game tonight. There's one more tonight, Monday Night Football. The Minnesota Vikings and the LA Rams, that game has been moved because of the wildfires in Southern California. That game was supposed to be played in LA at SoFi Stadium, but because of all the issues down in Southern California, that game has been moved to Glendale, Arizona, the Phoenix area, in the Arizona Cardinal Stadium. So not quite the same home field advantage for the LA Rams as they take on the Vikings tonight at 7 o'clock. So
that should be an interesting game for sure.
Also, yesterday was a rough one for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks lost to the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Not only did they lose, they got whooped.
How bad was it?
140-106. Bucks gave up 140 points. The Knicks just dominated. Jalen Brunson at 44 points. Nobody was in front of Jalen Brunson for the Bucks. They let him get off. Giannis had another Giannis-like game. He had 24 points and 13 rebounds. Damian Lillard had 22 points as well. Chris Middleton came off the bench, scored 16, but way, way too little for the Bucks. Milwaukee saw their three-game win streak come to an end. They're now 20-17. They had a chance to move closer to the Knicks in the Eastern Conference standings, but the Knicks now 26-14. So the Bucks are 4.5 games behind New York when it comes to the NBA Eastern Conference standings. The Bucks right now in third place in the Central Division, behind both Cleveland and Indiana. The Bucks right now sort of in the middle of the pack. They've just sort of been, you know, that way all season long, a little bit above 500. The Bucks will be back in action coming up on Tuesday night when they play host to the Sacramento Kings, back-to-back home games. In fact, three home games this week for the Bucks. They're on Tuesday night against Sacramento, on Wednesday night against Orlando, and then on Friday against the Toronto Raptors. And also, don't forget, tonight we have high school hockey. The Wausau West Warriors had a busy weekend. They played on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They won all three of those games. They beat Wisconsin Rapids, then they beat Eau Claire Memorial on Friday, and then they beat Middleton on Saturday. And tonight they're on the road at Chippewa Falls, try to extend their five-game win streak. I will have live coverage of the Warrior hockey team from Chippewa Falls tonight, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up next, as we start the final week of the Biden administration, some news economically came out on Friday. I want to talk about it because this idea that the economy is a dumpster fire, like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump have been saying, is a complete falsehood. I'll give you that information coming up next. Impressive numbers that came out on Friday. That's straight ahead. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. He's a brown and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. In the Salvation Army band, down by the riverside, is bound to be a better ride than what you've got planned. Carry you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:34, again, we'll be talking to 18th District State Senator Kristen Ulfheim And coming up tomorrow, a couple of guests will be coming into studio tomorrow. At 8:34, we'll be talking to Brenton Canese on upcoming WASA Conservatory of Music events, a number of events coming up. So Brenton Canese returning to the show, talk about those. And then at 9:06 tomorrow morning, we'll have our every other Tuesday visit, but the first time in 4 weeks, because 2 weeks ago it was New Year's Day, or that's New right. Year's Eve, I should say. So we haven't had Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library in for nearly a month. So we'll find out what's happening at the library when it comes to the start of 2025. So again, Brenton Canese tomorrow morning at 8:34, and at 9:06, Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library coming up as well. I wanted to talk a little bit because as we get to the end of the Biden administration, I just think that so much of the talk is strictly because, well, Donald Trump won, so that means Joe Biden failed in some way. And I've heard this from Democrats and liberals for last couple of weeks. Well, he's a failure because he didn't drop out earlier. He didn't allow the Democrats to have a better chance of winning. Well, if you look at the record again, President Joe Biden has nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
And I came across Friday morning, right after the show ended, some numbers came out from the United States government. The final jobs report of the Biden administration. So when Donald Trump starts to take credit for the economy, and he will do so starting next week,
no doubt.
It is a Biden economy that he is handing off that is very, very strong to Donald Trump. The United States added 256,000 jobs in December, surpassing again expectations and bringing the total for 2024 to 2.2 million jobs.
Way to go, President Biden.
Very impressive numbers for 2024. So this idea that the economy is horrible. And one thing, and people, you may out there may think, Chad, you're being wrong about what you're going to say. And I understand that. But I think that Democrats have this problem when it comes to talking about the economy. If you go back to the first Trump administration, Trump would always be talking about how this was the greatest economy that we've ever seen, when that was not the case.
Repeatedly.
But Democrats have this problem where if there's one person out there that is suffering because we care, we don't like saying that. We don't like saying that the economy is really good. If somebody is suffering through some issues with high prices or with rent payments or anything else, Democrats just don't want to go out there and tout the victories. Democrats got to get over that. They got to stop apologizing when you have some really good numbers to fight back with.
There's nothing wrong with being proud of good results and good numbers. As long as you're not like bragging about it constantly, there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's okay to be proud and take a pride in that, you know, the economy is doing better. Things are getting better.
And also, it is okay to say, hey, the economy is good, and it can always be a bit better. It can always serve people that are suffering. It can always do something to help the people that need some sort of hand as well. But again, I just don't think the Democrats were able to properly let the people of this country know the victories economically that came to this country in the 4 years since Donald Trump was removed from office. And if you can't go out there and say, hey, our policies have led to good economic recovery in the post-pandemic world. And when it comes to, say, of inflation spiked in the early years of the Biden administration. Inflation has not spiked in the last couple of years. And the thing about it is the inflation numbers in the United States of America were better than other industrial countries around the world because of the policies implemented by President Biden and Democrats in the United States Congress. So again, U.S., 256,000 jobs in December. The unemployment rate dipped to 4.1%. And this one is also important because the policies of growing the economy from the middle out as opposed from trickle down that Joe Biden has talked about over the last number of years is working as well, because wages, the money people take home from their jobs, grew at a 3.9% clip over the past year. That far outpaces inflation. So the idea that your paychecks are not going as far as they used to is wrong when it comes to 2024. And again, I'm not saying that the inflation of 2021 and 2022 did not hurt people immensely. It did. But again, that was a worldwide phenomenon in the aftermath of a pandemic, a global pandemic. And the policies that were implemented, the opposite of what we're going to see. We're going to see a massive tax cut put forth for the richest Americans in the next weeks from the Republicans in the Congress and the new president of the United States. The policies that Joe Biden and the Democrats have put through have led to job increases. They have led to wage growth as well. So again, Democrats have to start to communicate these victories much better than they did during the course of the 2024 campaign. Yes, there's always going to be people that we can help, and we're going to continue to work on that, but it's not wrong to actually tout the victories. And I just think that people like Trump and people like the Republicans, even when the facts don't warrant it, they're going to tout their victories. Well, when the facts warrant it, it's okay for Democrats to say, hey, these policies actually worked well for the American people. Mm-hmm. So again, that was, I think, good news that came out on Friday, the final jobs report of the Biden administration.
I believe that President Biden has done a spectacular job in the 4 years he's been president. You can't convince me otherwise, because, you know, based on the other guy, President Biden is, and he's like two steps above on that ladder.
He came in a tough situation. I think he handled the job exceptionally well over the past 4 years. State Senator Kristen Alfheim coming up next. The time is 9:29 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also see a video stream for us both at YouTube.com and also on our 98.9 WXCO Facebook page. Again, cold start, 5 degrees below zero, wind chill factor of 25 below here at our downtown studios. And very happy to welcome back to the program one of the new members of the state senate from the 18th Senate District, serving Appleton and area around that, areas around that part of the state, joined by State Senator Kristen Dassler Alfheim. And Senator, thank you for coming on the program.
Good morning, Chad. Always happy to be here.
Well,
it's like being home a little bit.
And that's the thing. That's why I like to have you come on. And I mentioned earlier in the show, you are a native here of central Wisconsin. We both went to DC Everest. You've gone on to bigger and better things. I keep talking into a microphone. you know, it's wonderful to see you and anybody from our area to be able to succeed and to help the folks here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's not something that you just started. You've been obviously working in different areas, both in government and outside of government, for quite a long time. But then you decided a couple of years back to run for office for the state assembly and then for the state senate. And obviously it's been a few years where you are working to get to this position. You get to it, all that hard work, I imagine there's a real sense of accomplishment that kind of culminated with your swearing in last week.
Well, it certainly was celebratory. You know, I had a great time. My friend's family, including my 98-year-old grandmother from Rothschild, Wisconsin. She's actually currently living down with her youngest daughter in Indiana, but they drove her up for the inauguration. So, yes, you know, a lot of work, and got to celebrate it with some of my favorite people, which is very exciting. But I got to tell you, the work that goes in ahead of time is the learning. And I think that's the part that people don't understand. I thought I had a pretty decent vocabulary for politics, and you soon find out how little you actually know about how it works, whether it's a municipal level, all the way up to the state level and national level. So the hard work is the influx of knowledge that you have to be willing to take in, search for in some cases, and then, you know, a willingness to say, oh, I didn't know that. And that changes you as a person. And as you get more and more information, you become, you know, kind of a better, bigger, better version of yourself. And I think that willingness to work hard at learning and humbly accept information that we didn't necessarily know was out there to begin with is really what puts us in a situation to be beneficial to everybody.
Now that you actually got the job, I imagine you're ready to get to work. I mean, I imagine that.
I'd love to get to work. I'd love to get to work. And, you know, it's been since I think 3 days after the election, I was sent an email of many, and it was prepare your budget request to the governor. And I thought, oh, how do you do that? And so the learning begins, you know, of the position very early on. And then you come to the reality shortly after inauguration, in fact, within hours of inauguration, that things don't work the way you think they do. They just don't. In fact, I think the biggest lesson I've learned since inauguration day is just kind of throw common sense out the window, because that's not really how it works there. And it's a shame. It's disappointing, because the work that we want to do is the work that the people that we've spoken to over the years have said they want. They want government to function. They want both sides to work together to make things better. And right out of the gun, the first thing we get is an amendment to the Constitution that is completely unnecessary. And that's disappointing, because I think it set the tone for the entire session. And we all had more hope than that. We hoped that there would be some change because of the rebalancing, that we would work together. Finding the way the committees are laid out and truly the dysfunction that still exists, even though we have a more balanced government now than we've had in over a decade, it won't really change unless the majority is willing to make it. And so far, that's not been the case.
And actually, it's really good that you mentioned it that way, because I do think a lot of folks, after seeing the numbers that did narrow both in the state Senate and the state assembly, thought, well, okay, maybe Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu would go about things a little differently. But again, I think you kind of hit it on the head that in terms of what they said last week, that they're going to go in with the same mindset to begin with. I think having that realism is something that's important. You can't have, you know, always these head in the cloud beliefs this moment. How do you take the information that you got really quickly, I would say, from the Republican majority, and use it in terms of how you're going to do your job? I guess, again, you said you have a lot to learn in this, but when you take that information in, I'm sure, as you said, you take all this information in, how does that affect maybe the early steps that you're going to be thinking about in terms of the priorities that you have?
Yeah, I think the danger for the freshmen coming in, and to a level the veterans, is to not get caught in it. My perspective will be to try very hard to not hold grudges. And again, says someone coming in who hasn't spent the last 10 years locked in a closet, that's a lot easier. But I think the challenge is we still must be hopeful for that. Creating relationships in the first 2 years in my position, it will be about creating relationships. Because what a lot of people don't know is that as much as we want things to get done, and now with a more balanced government, the committee chairs of the majority hold all of the power. So you and I could sit here and someone could call in and give us the best idea, something that would impact positively everyone in the state of Wisconsin. And if I put my name on it, or any Democrat put their name on it, it would not even really be allowed a public hearing. There's an average of 1,100 bills that come through Madison each session. And of them, only 3% are from the Democrats. That's how few bills the chairman of the committee will allow to even get to the point of a discussion. So, and then you'd think, again, with more balanced representation, that the committees would be a little bit more balanced, that we would be able to have hearty discussions and find common ground, which is what people desperately want us to do. On the assembly side, they actually made it worse. There are now fewer Democrats on every committee than there were in the past session. The Joint Finance is a great example. Again, Joint Finance Committee has tremendous power in the state. We can pass laws, but in the end, the Joint Finance Committee has the ability to choose not to fund things. That's a power that's been written in by the majority. The Joint Finance Committee is made up of 16 members between the Assembly and the Senate. It's a 12-4 committee. 12 Republicans, 4 Democrats. In a government that is almost 50-50, that's what they chose to do. So the frustration that people have is, why aren't we getting anything done? And it's the reality that the rules have been written internally, that the majority has given themselves so much power that they don't have to have conversations. They have made it so anything that shows up is almost a farce, because it's a known outcome. When you have the majority and you have the majority is in alignment, which is the question mark going forward, but as of this week it is, if the majority is in alignment, there's nothing that anyone else can do to actually stop it. So my hope is that the general public actually begins to understand the dysfunction. And it is not because of individuals. It's because of the way that they have rigged the system to not care what the minority thinks. Now, again, I believe, and I think most people will agree to this as well, in 2 years, the majority will flip without question in the Senate, and a very strong possibility in the Assembly. How would they want us to operate? And will the discussion be different? Will then the majority, the then minority, will the Republicans be saying, well, why would you do this and this? You know, if people don't understand the situation that we're in today and have been for well over a decade, then without communication, I'm afraid that when it changes over, the other side is going to be very loud and screaming mad. No, these are the rules that are set up. Is this the way that we want to govern? Is this the way that this is not governing? This is just, it's bulldozing from the majority. And that needs to stop in order for us to actually function for the good of the people. That's the bottom line. That is what every person that I ever spoke to in on the trail over the last 3 years has said to me and others. Start to work together, find some common ground. Not everybody can be always right, and not everybody can always be always wrong. Let's start acting like it. This has not started out to be any better than it has in the past, even though there are willing participants. You have 4 new senators that came from purple districts. We cannot, nor will we ever be all one or all the other, because our districts expect more than that. So you have 4 new members willing. In fact, 5. I think Brad Pfau falls into the same category. You have 5 members that are willing to work together to find common ground. But the discussion is never had, because their decisions are made every time they bring a bill forward. They know it's going to pass, and they're not going to let anything else come to the floor that we might actually be able to have a conversation. At least as of today,
right,
and for the last decade plus, that has been the situation. So until we fix that, we will not actually get what the people want.
Again, we're talking to State Senator Kristen Dassler-Offheim from the 18th State Senate District here on 98.9 WXCO. It sounds like you are playing the long game, that you realize that, you know, as you said, the relationships matter, that impatience is not a way to govern. And I was looking at your committee assignments, and you are a ranking member on the Senate Committee on Financial Institutions and Sporting Heritage. You are also on the Senate Committee on Insurance, Housing, Rural Issues, and Forestry. And you've also been named as well. Doggone it, I lost my page. But you're a non-committee board member in one other area as well.
WIDA.
Okay, yep, economic development.
Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development, yeah.
How do you look at those assignments? Are you happy with your assignments? How do you, and also as a minority member, I've heard stories that sometimes it can be frustrating as being part of the minority. But again, is it about the long game here for you?
Yeah, it is for me. To me, everything is about consistency of message, consistency and a willingness and openness to find common ground. You know, again, I live here in the Fox Valley, came from the rural territory. So to me, you know, again, the majority sets the committees. So why financial institutions, which would be banks and credit unions, are put together with sporting heritage is interesting. Mm-hmm. I think you could argue that. Why insurance is put together with forestry, I think you could question why that's done. And those are questions for the majority. They're the ones who set them. When I look at it as all of this matters to us. Housing is a key component to every community. Affordable housing, we have got to start making progress on. Forestry matters to all of us. Our green spaces, I love the up north. I love that. We have to start working at it. we will be dealing with, whether it's trout stamps, cranes, wolves, bear, all of that comes into play. And I think it's good to have some well-rounded opinions and discussion on it. Again, can we make changes? No, but we can be heard. We can be heard and begin to establish a history of transparency and consistency of message. And hopefully over time, those voices come to fruition. And maybe I get lucky. Maybe I find somebody that actually has an open ear, and I look forward to that. And I am hopeful of that. In this state, I know that there are Republicans out there that are more moderate than their platform allows. I know that to be true. The question is whether we can find some moderation together for the good of Wisconsin. That's the question. And all I can do is put myself in a position of earning that respect and consistently delivering the message that, again, humbly listening and learning, creating relationships, and wanting good things to happen for the state of Wisconsin, no matter where the ideas come from.
We got about a little more than a minute to go, and again, as you, it sounds like you're starting a journey right now.
It's a journey.
It really is, and it's very interesting because I haven't heard a lot of, call it politicians or government servants, whatever you want to say, look at it that way. As you look at maybe the next 6 months, and we have all the budget discussions and everything else that's going on, what are the things that you're most looking forward to getting your hands around early on, even if it's just in terms of discussions with other members of the state Senate? What are the things that you're really looking forward to here in our final minute?
Yeah, I think that what I really, really would like to accomplish is to help people tie fiscal responsibility and investing in children. Mm. The two are connected. We are going to, as a state, as a body, as taxpayers, fund programs in our state. I would rather we start looking at things from the root cause. I would rather be sure if we're going to spend money, let's build a foundation of healthy, educated, housed children. If we can keep kids on the right path, we then have the greatest success of having them find success in our community as adults. Giving kids the chance to find success in life is our foundational mission in this state. And we have to stop ignoring that fact. If we address at the root cause some of the issues, again, lack of education causes nothing but long-term financial fiscal issues for our state.
Senator, we're going to end it right there. We're coming up a heartbreak. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, it is Monday, January the 13th of 2025. That means it is day number 13 of this year. There are 352 days remaining in 2025. We are in 2025.
We're still in that transition period of switching over from 24 to 25.
Exactly right. But incredible. It is 2025. But hey, let's get right into it. There are some famous events that have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1928, 97 years ago today, couch potatoes can trace their roots to this date when three experimental TV sets were installed in private homes in Schenectady, New York. Not that there was much to see. The test broadcast by General Electric and RCA was of a person smoking, followed by a man playing a ukulele. On this date in 1957, the Frisbee, as we know it, was introduced.
Oh, yeah.
On this date in 1999, Michael Jordan announced his retirement, but he would return to the NBA in 2001. On this date in 2000, Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates stepped aside as chief executive and promoted company president Steve Ballmer to the position. On this date in 2010, it was announced that for the first time, Punxsutawney Phil would text his weather prediction on February 2nd, Groundhog Day. On this date in 2016, the largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history was won by three ticket holders. $1.586 billion would be eventually split by winners in California, Tennessee, and Florida. A few famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld played Elaine Bennis for many years and also from Veep is 64. Penelope Ann Miller, actress, is 61. Actor Patrick Dempsey of Grey's Anatomy is 59. Writer-producer Shonda Rhimes behind Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, Private Practice, incredibly prolific. Shonda Rhimes is 55. Orlando Bloom, actor, is 48 years old today. And Liam Hemsworth, actor from The Hunger Games, is 35 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Korean American Day. It is Sticker Day. It is Clean Off Your Desk Day. I'm going to try to do that today. It is Gluten-Free Day. It is Make Your Dream Come True Day. It is Rubber Ducky Day. Remember Ernie always singing Rubber Ducky? Oh, you're the one.
It's a great song.
And on that same line, it's Public Radio Broadcasting Day. So our friends in public radio, today is your day as well. All righty then. It is time for our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
And we give Ian a quiz every day at this time to wrap things up, give him a number for the day, and we give him three choices. And based on the math, because you have three choices, you should get one out of three right just by guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 33%. So that means if he's above 33%, it's a passing grade. If he's below 33%, it's a failing grade for the week. But we don't want just a passing grade, which would be 2 out of 5. We want a winning week, which is 3 out of 5. Get more right than wrong. And then, of course, we want the best week ever, which is 4 out of 5. That's the best. That's been his record. 4 right in 1 week. Want to try to get to that level again. And then there's that greatest of all goal, a perfect week of 5 out of 5. Still that's waiting right. to do that.
What is the topic for today's number?
You know, Friday, we talked about Elvis impersonators. Remember that?
Yes. There were 37 impersonators
at the time of his death. And today, we are going to say how many impersonators there are today.
Oh.
Roughly. This is an estimate of how many Elvis impersonators worldwide, from singers to skydivers, how many Elvis impersonators are there now in the world?
Okay, yeah, what are my choices?
All right, the choices are 100,000, 300,000, 500,000.
Well, if we're talking worldwide.
Worldwide.
And my dad actually was saying that if I listened to that on Friday, I would have gotten it right. So I'll make sure I'm taking that piece of advice. So I'm going to say worldwide, I'm going to say, hey, there are 500,000 Elvis impersonators. I'm going with C to start off the week. It's my final answer. C.
All right. The number of estimated Elvis impersonators worldwide is 300,000.
Oh, the middle number.
You usually go with the middle on the first day of the week.
Well, I thought of with a worldwide, I thought it'd be a bigger number.
Still, 300,000.
I guess I was wrong.
All right. Well, you still got plenty of time this week. Got to have a good week.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Next week, you're only going to be here one day.
Yeah.
So we're going to be all on the line a week from Friday.
Oh, yes.
But no, we still have 4 more days to go. So, and you want to know what tomorrow's number for the day is? Because I actually changed today because I want another Elvis But it was actually a good one that was given to me today. I'm going to use it tomorrow.
What is the topic?
Tomorrow is going to be, again, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, that should be interesting.
So we'll do that tomorrow. And again, tomorrow we'll be joined by Brenton Canese talking about events at the Wasa Conservatory. And also tomorrow morning we'll talk to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library.
Happy Monday, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.